Hello, Danielle Raphael here. I'm the executive producer of Planet Perth, hosted by Jeff Bullen. And we are so excited to share with you this very special finale of Season 2, Planet Perth Live. Recorded at Lawson Flats on Wednesday, November 22nd, Planet Perth Live brings together the most recognisable faces and stories from across Boorloo. In this episode, you'll hear some historical and hilarious secrets and scandals with famous Sharon and Monique from Hidden Detours, experience the evocative poetry of Joni Boyd, laugh out loud with IJ McKenna and Charlene Belort from The Sovereign Podcast, and analyse some of the most wackiest news headlines of the year with lecturer and broadcaster James Hall. Planet Perth will return next year, so until then, stay weird, and we can't wait to share more stories with you in 2024.
Hey! Kaya! Hey! What's that mic? Good evening and welcome to Planet Perth Live. How are we all feeling tonight? My name's Jeff Bullen, host of RTRFM's Planet Perth podcast. And it's great to be with you this evening for our very first live podcast event. Yeah! Now, before we kick things off, I'd like to acknowledge that we're gathering on the lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people. We pay our respects to elders past and present. This land was never ceded. Tonight, we'll be bringing you a lucky dip of guests with stories of living, working and coming of age in one of the most isolated cities in the world. Let's make them all feel welcome. First of all, famous Sharon and Monique from Hidden Detours. Poet Joni Boyd. Joni, stand up and let everyone know you're here. Academic and broadcaster and my first mentor at RTRFM, James Hall. First Nation powerhouses, Charlene Bullock, I should say, and IJ McKenna from the Sovereign Podcast. And if you haven't clubbed that podcast yet, get busy. And we also have a special guest tonight, caricature artist Marion LeCrayon. And also Andrew Meredith from the band The Mackerels. Now, Marion's going to be drawing guests all tonight as they take the stage. We're going to reveal those a little bit later in the evening. She'll also be available following the event for sittings if you want your own picky done. Another round of applause for the wonderful Marion. Now, as you're probably aware, tonight we're recording live, so we encourage you all to make lots of noise and cheer. So let's do a test now. Make some noise if you live south of the river. Shame on you. Make some noise if you live north of the river. Yeah, we know where it's headed there. Let's get right on into it. Our first guest tonight is very famous for nothing at all. The paparazzi chase her for hours because she pays them to. And you've seen her on every TV channel, in Elle Magazine, TV Week, and all over the internet. It's famous Sharon with special guest Monique from Hidden Detours.
Hello. Is it on? Is it on? How exciting. Hello. I'm off the TV. You can touch me. I'm real. Hello. Hello. So I know. Thank God Botox doesn't melt. My face would be all wonky today. It's hot in Perth. And I am also the face of WAR. You missed that one, dolls. Face of WA. So that means I get to go all over Port Hedland, Geraldton, Bunbury, all the Hollywood locations. So I love WA. Who loves WA here? And I love Perth, Boorloo. I love this place. And do you know what, Dales? I have a little gripe with you, with Perth. Can I have a... I know. We are trying too hard to be perfect. Perfect, if you will. And it's getting us into trouble. It started, you know, decades ago, and then it just, it got really bad. Can you show them how bad it got, Dales? This happened. This was peak... Peak Perfect.
How good is Perth? Is it the best place on earth? You know it's not like us to boast, but nothing beats living here on the West Coast.
It's
I think there
going.
Might be enough, Shaz.
It's still going. How good is Perth? 10 out of 10. Yeah, and they say that we've lost our attention spans, but we sat through 3 hours of that song. That was amazing. But Judah does, you know, why haven't we seen this still replayed? It's because who loves the friend that's like, how good am I? You know, the besties, you know where besties are forged? It's in the bathroom of toilets in nightclubs. Hello, ladies. Have you? Yes. That's where you met, isn't it, Taz? And you know why? Because that's where we're vulnerable, where we share our secrets and our flaws and our scandals. Can I have a... Yes, dolls. Tonight, I'm going to share a scandal of Perth. Can you go, ooh... Thank you, thank you. And this one is the murder on the dance floor. We can't play it for too long because we're probably not licensed. Anyway, I don't know those things. Has anyone heard about the murder in the ballroom that happened in Perth? Put your hand up if you've heard about it. Not many of you. Put your hand up just slightly. Just do a little if you have never heard of it. No, dolls. Oh, my gosh. Welcome, welcome. So, let me throw you back to 1925. Were you alive then, dolls? No. That's way back. You didn't do it. Way
Audrey.
Back. And there was a young woman called Audrey Jacob, and she was out with her bestie, ooh, Annie, and they were having a really good time. They were going to the St. John's Ball at the ballroom, the governor's ballroom, just down the road. Is it that way? Mm. I don't know where I am, but it's a block somewhere. Okay, fabulous. Look, we're on radio. No one can see me pointing in the right direction. Nailed it. Anyway, so they're out there, they're having the best time. She's wearing this amazing blue ball gown. And then across the ballroom floor, she sees her ex-fiancé, Cyril Jacobs. He cut off their engagement because he heard some rumour about her, someone having male friends. Of course, who's got friends? You've got friends, right, dolls? Broke it off. So she tries to speak to him. She's like, maybe we can, you know, he's with another young woman. She's like, maybe we can reignite the old flame. And he blanks her. I know. So she did what any reasonable, young, passionate 20-year-old woman would do. She brought a handgun out. And she shot him dead on the dance floor. In front of everyone. And so, yeah, there's a supporter down the front. They're like, Cyril got what was he was getting. So she, as she was being pulled away, she said, I did it. Oh, She was upset. She was so overwhelmed. And then when she went to trial, it came out that not only had he broken off engagements with her, no, he'd broken off engagements with other young women. He was a cat about town. He was smoking and fighting on ships and doing dangerous things. And so the jury decided to let her off, and she walked free. Yes. And that's exactly what the courtroom did. They applauded. And that was our very first murder on the dance floor in Perth. Isn't
Shaz,
that amazing?
Shaz.
Yes.
That's not actually the whole truth. We talked about this already.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So this is Mon, and we do some work together sometimes. I'm the fun, she's the facts.
Lots of facts.
So we used to tell this story, like almost a decade ago, and I've reread the brochures. Mm. I did my research again, so we're up to date.
But the brochures were from 2014, though, Shaz. Yeah. They've actually, a lot of historians have looked into it a little bit further, the evidence, okay. And they've discovered a completely different story. Yes.
Okay, but hang on. Was there a murder?
Yes.
Was it on a dance floor?
Yeah, it was on the dance floor.
Then how different could it be?
Well, Shaz, to be honest with you, you know how you said that she was in her
She's
blue?
Always honest with me. I love that. She's like, this is the I moment am. I'll be honest, Shaz.
I'm rather frank.
This is terrifying.
So you know how you said that it was the murder? She had a ballroom gown on?
Yeah.
Well, she actually rocked up with a little outfit like that.
For listeners at home,
a pantomime.
There's a terrifying image of Perowo or whatever. Clown.
I Googled it, but then
Some
I forgot.
Clown. Yeah. She was
costume.
Dressed as a clown, full face paint. That's
Pierrot.
That's a choice, isn't it, Dells?
Got it.
Pierrot.
Anyways, Dells, so that's what she did. She got dressed up like that.
Skip past it, okay. Wait a minute. She just changes outfits. I think that's iconic. She's like early Gaga. Come on, Dells. We've all done that.
Oh, there's a clip.
For listeners at home, I just transformed pretty seamlessly.
You look fabulous, Shaz.
Thank you.
That felt really odd doing that, though. So I know you've done a little costume change, but not everyone does. But what she did was she left the ballroom.
Okay.
She left her friend Annie there. She went to her apartment very close by. She got dressed into a beautiful ball gown. She got her gun, wrapped it in a handkerchief, and she took it back to the ballroom. Just like that. So it wasn't premeditated. This is what we said before. It wasn't premeditated.
It was premeditated.
I always get that wrong.
Excuse me, though.
It wasn't a crime of passion at all.
Dolls, you don't know how far the passion of a young 20-year-old something can take you. I would fly to another country on that passion, People have, your first heartbreak, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. However, Cyril. Yes, Cyril.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so you're getting into the whole story as well. That's what happened when the real story has come out. Because Cyril had written a letter 11 days before his murder saying that Audrey had threatened his life. I know. And they put it in the court. However, the lawyer was very clever and said, you know what, this isn't real.
Yeah, did
and
he give it to
also,
anyone?
Also, Shaz, let me
Could
finish, Dallas. I'm the facts person. Anyways, and so what he did too was go to the newspapers and said, do not publish this story. This letter. I only want you to do it after the court so it doesn't sway public opinion. I know, scandal.
Okay, well...
So did you know what he did, though?
What?
The whole plan was to paint her out as a respectable woman. Because they said no respectable woman would be able to have the capacity to commit a calculated murder.
She had an inner-city apartment. She
was respectable, modest, sincere... All then, of those things.
Well, then what was she if she wasn't that?
She was a 1920s flapper, everybody.
Ooh!
She had short hair, red lipstick, and she loved to party.
Oh, it does. I love the sound of her. She sounds fashionable. She sounds fun.
Yeah, she was. However, her family were very concerned because she wanted to be an artist.
I'm sorry, this is just, if there's any artists at home, is this just not everybody's family? Again, you're not convincing me. We're starting to sway back.
The father was so concerned that he wrote a letter to the police and he said that she was partying way too much, she was hanging around the Fremantle docks and she was hanging around with sailors.
Oh. This is where South of the River got their bad reputation from.
Hey.
Oh, no, you're from Fremantle. Oh, yeah, Tinder didn't exist, dolls. This is all she had.
And
she just swiped right as they came off the ship. Hoping someone would hug you back. Early dating, it was brutal.
And she got baptised.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what? She did it 2 days before the court case, arranged by the lawyer to make her out to be a good Christian girl.
Mm. Well, Cyril, I'm sorry, but Cyril was no, like, perfect person. He got into fights and he broke off other engagements with people. He left them in the country and stuff, so Cyril.
Yeah, that was the whole thing with the lawyer. It was Arthur Goodwin Haynes. He was very, very clever. So as soon as the murder on the dance floor hit the streets, he was like, I am going to look after this lady.
If you haven't heard of him, because we've done a few history things together, he actually like worked with all walks of life, you know, some disadvantaged people too. So, you know, maybe he was trying to help.
Yeah, he was chasing the case that had public profile, a little bit like you.
I've never related so strongly.
Yes, he wanted to make sure that he represented her, and right from the get-go, he made her out to be this innocent, sweet thing, and her to be as Cyril to be a scoundrel. Check out the newspaper. Look at this.
Isn't that
Audrey
cute?
Audrey versus really Cyril.
I love the early newspapers. Really looks like they just stuck them down and made them out. You know,
so
like
Cyril,
anyone could make a newspaper. You know.
So Cyril himself, he was an engineer on the ship, and right at the beginning, the media painted about to be a likeable gentleman. And very, very quickly it changed once Haynes started to talk to the media. And he started to be pictured and painted as a cad, a scoundrel.
Show me.
I will. I'll show you, Shaz.
Oh, there
That's
we go.
That's him there. He's the one with the hat.
So for listeners at home... She is pictured next to him and she looks like a vision. She's an angel. She's staring into the distance, thinking about charity work she wants to do. And meanwhile, Cyril Gidley has probably just littered. Like, he's looking at the ground with disrespect and he's just, like, spitting on people as they pass by with a cigarette in his mouth. He looks super dodge.
I think you nailed it, Shaz.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So wait a minute, but I get all this. Then how did she get away with it? Because she still, if she did break the law and all these things.
Well, everyone saw her do it.
Yeah.
It's right in front
this
of
is
everybody.
That's correct.
6 feet away.
Look at me coming
Shot
up
it.
With the facts. Yeah, I'm saying.
And she said, I did it. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
So then how did she get away with it?
It was the defence strategy of Haynes the lawyer. So he wanted to secure sympathy for her in the public eye, in outside the court and inside the court, and it really worked. He really made the media
Can
do some work
for him. Can you show us one of the articles? That
I will. Was that a hint to move quickly, Shaz? This was it here, the remarkable eyes of Audrey Campbell Jacob.
Can I just say the headline sounds beautiful, but the image they've got is horrifying. They've really zoomed in and they didn't understand pixelation. So it's like two very pixelated eyes and it's all you can see. Yeah, so why would that change anyone's opinion?
Well, in the story itself, I don't know if you can read it from there. It says,
my eyes are less remarkable. Way to bring it up, doll. She's wearing glasses.
So what it says, well, the students of psychology place much value on the eye as the expression of character.
Ooh.
They didn't consult a professor or a professional at all. And they're basically saying, if Audrey has remarkable eyes, that made her a remarkable person.
I feel like it was...
So she would not kill anybody.
I feel like this is the students in the tab after five beers that Haynes had bought them. So tell me again how remarkable eyes are.
Okay. And Shaz also.
Yeah.
Haynes was best buddies with the owner of the Mirror newspaper and he also worked for them.
Okay.
So he was feeding them stories. He was also talking to every newspaper in town throughout court going, you must say this, you must say that. And it worked. And it went from the ballroom murder to the ballroom tragedy all of a sudden as he, you know, manipulated the narrative.
Okay. All right. So... The lawyer changed it all around. But what is the law is, if you shoot someone, you go. So
yeah, generally, unless you've got a good lawyer, though. So she pleaded not guilty to willful murder.
Is there an unwritten law somewhere?
There is. There is, and I'm getting to it. I know. So the parents, you know how she didn't like the fact that she was doing all these things and sent in the letter complaining? She actually, the parents said, look, she is a beautiful woman. She's sincere. They painted him out to be an absolute cad. They said that he was trying to break up the family, and even to the point where they used the family home as a smuggling den.
Can I just make a point, though, before we get to the climax, is why didn't he defend himself? Because he could have had people say, well...
Well, he's from the UK, Shaz, that's why.
They notoriously cannot defend themselves.
There wasn't a direct flight. There was no direct flight at the time.
No,
so
it took like
a couple of his
weeks.
Friends stood up and defended his honour. However, the reason why she got off was the unwritten law. Anyone
not
heard
even
of the unwritten
law?
No? I'm going to read out exactly what it says. When a jury pardons a crime not because it is legal or written, but because it is morally justifiable. If a woman has been seduced and abandoned by a man, a revenge killing might be justifiable under unwritten law, especially if a woman whose livelihood would be based on her reputation and marriageability. Isn't that scandalous? And even, as you said, when the jury gave the verdict, everyone erupted into... Yeah! Amazing!
So I guess now we have a new murder on... It's not as good, is it? It's not as juicy. I prefer the good guys, bad guys. Super easy to figure out. You've ruined the story, Mon, with your facts.
They're not my facts, though, Shaz. They're the facts of the historians. They've found the evidence.
Spoken
so you know
like
how
a
you said that it was a better scandal before? I think it's a better scandal now.
Okay.
Because the fact that he, Arthur Haynes...
Three people
know,
agree with you. The rest
thanks,
of the room
guys.
Is devastated.
Well, you know, he convinced everybody.
I lost an eyelash. I'm so sad.
So they're less remarkable eyes now, aren't they, Shaz? Oh, shame.
Okay. We're
going to
wrap this
up. The gag.
We haven't had time, though. We were going to tell you more, like things, the tank that drove through the city, the shirt that stopped a bullet, the red light district on Rose Street. Row is what I like to call
There's
it.
There's so many things,
so
Shaz.
Many things.
But you know what? You can join us on tour. Wear your silent disco headphones. Join us for the Perth Secret Scandals and Hidden History Tour.
Oh.
I know. And you can hear all about it.
Gosh, so you can like learn all of the other things, and then when this story comes up, you'll be like, I know the ending. You can be that annoying mature age student in the class that's like, I've studied this. Well, that's fabulous, Dolls. I think that's a great idea. Thanks for having us. Have a good time.
Well, thank you very much to famous Sharon and Monique. Hey, Shaz, what's your
yes.
favourite part about being a Perthonality?
Oh, it's being from Perth. Best place on earth. But, you know, it is because I feel like the really funnest things are the things that other people don't necessarily know about or realise straight away, and it makes it so much more special. And I feel like when I was growing up, everybody left Perth as soon as they could, which, you know, sometimes they only got to Adelaide, but they they would jump in a car, find a plane, they'd find a way. And now I can see some young people here, a few, and now people stay and make it better and make things happen. And I just, you know, like RTR, I think it's fabulous.
But yeah.
That's one of my favourite things.
All right, give it up for famous Sharon and Monique. Our next guest has been running countless poetry and music shows around town since 2012. She's host of Perth Slam at the Rosemount Hotel and co-hosts RTRFM's Activist Citizen Journalism program, Indie Media. She brings her queer punk poetry far and wide to backyards, bands, gigs and festivals across Borloo. And tonight, she's bringing it to Planet Perth. We're so lucky to have her. Please welcome Joni Boyd.
Thanks for having me. This rules. This is hell good. Okay, I've got a little one It's not quite as punk as my intro suggested. but it's a little bit about growing up in Perth and sort of the landscape of the place and all of the capitalism. it's called Bright Wide Silence. One. Her healing comes when it must, the Frio doctor. She snatches seagulls above Rotto as she races in to slice up the still day, makes inquiries on the cafe strip. What is all this empty work? What does your city worship? Makes choirs out of highways, visits the bong architects in their sheds, cools the sweat of school kids and tradies. She makes your name numb, asks, why do you need a price? You hear the wind chime again after a year without music. She says your heart can't beat songless, and maybe without that thick heat, you'll stay outside to hear orange in the sky as she makes art in the waves. And if you breathe her in, what will you be tonight? Two. A dull, sunny haze hummed around the canteen where Dad would go help the lunch ladies. Dragon Ball Z at the playground. Bushy streets all curved up to the half-done freeway. School oval sheltered in a bowl of Heath Hills. Imaginary games by the cricket nets. Green cordial days. I am this. The bright wide silence above us. Enter Shikari headphones, cold bruised mornings. My mate shoved mother cans down his pants at Coles across the road. Late to maths. On the weekend, we'd vote for movies or hot beer beach days or philosophise to bedroom ceilings between Xbox releases or run around in half-built homes at night. We found the coolest trash at the suburb's edge and bright, wide silence above us. Bong hit and book club and bargain wine, 20-something sharehouse veranda done up for glow paint rave, shattered jello shots in the carpet, uni kids and sandwich artists cut their fingers splitting frozen beef burgers. Across from Belden Primary, there was a bright, wide silence above us. The end was just the start of it. We grew wings and broke them. We stayed up way too late and felt like shit in the morning. We found secret alleyways between the cul-de-sacs and got lost down them. We got our degrees in the mail, cooked our hearts in the deep fryer, threw the mop to the ground, moved a little further down the road and left all those faces, all those green cordial days behind. Three. Adults are industrial parks, where the trucks line up like a schoolboy's barbed fence, pale yellow grass, corpse of a dead land, watches glass grow, a disease of obscure logos decorate monoliths to debt, calcified lunch bars and plasterboard warehouses vindicating sitcoms, the sky categorized by wire, screaming as the airport feeds on the bright, wide silence. Do cargo ships dream of electric seas? When I was young, I could stand on a hill above the primary school oval, observe everywhere I'd worked and walked around, every sports carnival, bus stop, and best friend's house. The skyline spread flat and wide, sprawling beyond the horizon, valleys of suburbs, suburbs built around rivers and lakes. Dry suburbs, cold suburbs, new suburbs, spreading into Westfield clusters. Now, deeper in life, I've seen all those green cordial faces come around again in new people, new communities, new lives. There was a bright, wide silence above us, and underneath it, I fell in love. Thank you. I hope all of the bongs and swearing was all right.
Oddly, the bongs one works fine for me.
Thank you so much.
Joni, that was awesome. Thank you. Everyone, give it up. Joni Boyd. That was awesome, man. Seriously. Joni and I are studio neighbours on most weeks, so...
Yeah, Jeff hands over to me on Indie Media.
On the record comes before Indie Media, so I'm we sure get to see each other each week. And I never knew that that poetry was hidden inside you, Joni.
Oh, I'm blown thank away. You.
Give it up for Joni! Now, our next guests, in their first week of podcasting, this First Nations duo climbed to the top of the Spotify charts with their debut, We Should Be Studying. Ever since, these sister girls have been yarning about Indigenous affairs with their signature fun, flair and astute observations about coming of age in Borloo. Please welcome hosts of RTRFM Sovereign Podcast, Charlene Ballack and IJ McKenna.
Hello.
Is that good?
Okay, cool.
What do we usually say? Every time we record, we always go, what is...
Yeah.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, Mom.
And welcome back to the Sovereign Podcast. So I'm Isaiah.
And I'm Charlene.
And we are the host of Sovereign.
Sovereign, which is a podcast that comes out fortnightly every Thursday?
Yep.
Thursday fortnightly. And basically we just yarn our holes off.
We made a TikTok
and she goes, we just yap our holes. That's what we do.
And I'm like, I don't know if that's selling us very well.
But if you want to put it in a more better way, I mean, yeah, like it's true. We do yarn our holes off, but we actually say some pretty educational stuff.
We have some good quotes. Yeah, we do. It's basically First Nations Affairs. We're both uni. Char's just graduated.
Yeah, yes. I got
I'm still in the struggle. We're in uni. We are not from Perth.
No,
we're controversial. Not.
Yeah,
for what we're going to do today. But so, we just keep people updated on our big little lives.
On our big little lives. That's so right. Yeah. And no, but like we always start off our podcast asking each other, like, what do we get up to today?
Yeah, how are you?
Like, how are you? What is like how a check in? No, AJ, tell me, what did you get up to this week?
You know what I did? I sweat and sweat and sweat and sweat.
It's been hot.
I'm from Broome. And this challenged me. This weather challenged me. I was like, no, my family would be so disappointed if I even, like, complained right now. I just kept powering through. I was at King's Park and I was, like, sweating. And I was like, it's fine. Got to keep going. This is in my blood. What about you? How are you?
Well, I mean, I agree with the whole it's been a hot week. All my days. Walking outside is like, oh, don't
get hit with a wave.
You just get hit with, like, the most... I don't know. I felt like I've been melting in
humid
my car.
Hair, makeup melting off,
makeup melting.
Sweat on your clothes.
And I mean,
so
I'm not from Broome. I can't imagine the heat in Broome. I'm from the Midwest. So, like, I always describe
sounds like America.
It literally, no. I'm from the Midwest. That's what we blackfellas, we call the middle of Western Australia the Midwest. Because, you know, I just, like, want to preface. Everyone's seen The Lion King, surely. You know when Mufasa is with Simba and he's like pointing in the distance to like the elephant pride, the elephant graveyard.
Don't go
and
past he's like, the pride lands.
Don't go past the pride lands.
He's talking about where she's from.
That's where I'm from. I'm from beyond the pride lands. It's literally imagine this. What's that big haystack thingy like rolling around? And
yeah,
like,
desert. Nothing out there.
Nothing out there. So it's,
Charlene,
it's hot there as well. It's definitely hot there as well. So, yeah. I mean, I feel like we both can't complain.
No.
Being from the north of the country.
Definitely.
Where it's hot.
Red dirt.
Red dirt.
But, yeah, we do heaps of different episodes. We're going to do one similar to our episode, which is called...
Hot.
Like, I think it's called Dear Boys, Please Don't Wear Those Skinny Jeans.
Yes.
You know those skinny jeans with the cuffs on the bottom and the...
It just don't look the saggy skinny
No offence, but yeah, but offence.
All offence.
But we're going to do something similar,
yes.
Which is controversial because we're not from Perth, but we are doing our hot takes.
Our hot takes
Perth.
On Perth. Yeah. How's our sound?
And I've got a feeling you're going to agree.
Oh, no, 100%, because everything we're going to say... has to resonate with you no matter
doesn't matter where you live.
North, south, it's north,
bad
south,
everywhere.
East, west. No, it's yeah. bad everywhere. It's bad everywhere. So do you wanna
I'll kick it off.
You wanna kick it off?
All right. My one, actually this is a good one. I have a hot take that Perth crowds show up for homegrown talent. Oh, I think yes. we really do. Thank you all for coming. Yeah, like, thank you.
Thank you.
But when we get our, like, international people coming in, it's giving silence. It's giving, I know some of the words. It's giving, mm-hmm. I know the most popular song.
Yeah.
And I don't appreciate that.
Yeah.
I don't.
No, 100% agree.
That's my hot take. I hope you guys agree. Because every time I go to, like, a concert of someone that's from Perth or from Australia, there's packs of people. I'm getting shoved in the barricades.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And, you know, people really rock up for it. But then I go to, like, big festivals and international artists and people are kind of, like, standing there like, oh, yeah, I think I heard this on the radio. And I'm like, guys, are you serious? They flew all the way here for us to, like, stand there and stare at them. And like, it's so embarrassing. And then you see the East Coast crowds and they're, like, so hype. And I'm like, oh, come on, Perth.
It gives you a major FOMO, major FOMO. Just, like, looking at people's videos over East when they're, like, vibing to a concert. And like, and then you go, you literally expect the same thing from Perth, but no one's
I feel weird for knowing the words.
Yeah,
everyone's exactly. like, why is this going all the words for? Like, what song is this? And I'm exactly. like, come on. Anyways, yeah.
Well,
so
I
yeah.
guess similarly to that, my hot take would be, oh, actually, not even similarly. This is a whole other thing, but I guess it resonates in some way. Why is every freeway in construction here? Every freeway I take, highway, freeway, I don't know. I was on Tonkin the other day and I hate being on that freaking highway. There would be like a road closed with just cones around it with nothing going
there's
on.
There's no people. The people are standing there like on their phones like, and literally. I'm like going here, this way, there, around the other.
Literally,
it's so true.
It's just like, it's the worst. And even when you put it in your maps, it's like, oh yeah, road
redirect.
Work, redirect. Yeah. You go past it. Nothing's
oh
going on.
Oh my God, that reminds me. I literally was in Grand Farmer Freeway and they were like, merge left, accident ahead. It was like blaring. I was like, oh my gosh, must be so bad. And then when I merged left and drove past, there was nothing there. The lane was empty. The lane was empty. And I was like, oh, did we all just collectively agree to just listen to the sign? And there was nothing there.
It is actually so true. Every freeway is in construction.
Like, if you work in construction, you're making bank.
You're
That's
making
all
bank.
I like, come to Perth. Come to Perth.
Literally, by
you'll make money.
By doing nothing. But, yeah. No, that's, like, my hot take. And it's just so annoying because I have to work. Oh God, I have to take the freeway to work every morning. And it's just the same thing. It's, like, construction, roadwork ahead. And everyone's – and the thing is, Perth drivers can't drive.
No, they
we can't.
Can't
merge.
Oh my, that's so true.
I'm sorry, that's me. It's like, I don't know. I feel like I don't have road rage to that extent, but I've seen people slam.
No, merge does not mean brake. No. Merge does not mean brake and indicate.
It
They're
doesn't.
Two different things.
It doesn't. Merge means turn your indicator on, look to your wherever. Yeah.
Coming from girls, we both have been in car crashes.
Oh, we have both been in car crashes.
Both been in car accidents. Don't listen to us, actually. We actually have both been in accidents.
Okay, in my defense, my one wasn't my fault.
Yeah, she got hit, I did the hitting.
I did, my one was not my fault. I was just at a stoplight, you know, had my music up, I had the windows down, and then I look in my rearview mirror, I see a car speeding behind me, I'm like, yeah, it's going to hit me.
I was
yeah,
the
it's
car.
Gonna hit me.
I was the car.
In
my
it was
in my
Plot
situation,
twist.
I was the car. Which,
no,
so
but
don't
no,
listen
I,
to us.
It was just like you know what? Perth drivers just can't drive, and putting orange cones on the freeway and highways just doesn't
makes
do
it 10
it.
Times
it just makes
worse.
It 10 no, times yeah. worse. But yeah, that's
so
my
true.
Hot take.
That's a good one. I have a good take because we're doing like also ins and outs of Perth. I'm bringing in 2024. Sitting at lakes and parks.
Yes,
what
I agree.
Do we think? Charlene's definitely a lakes and a park
I'm
girl.
A lakes
Read
and
a
park
book,
girl.
Sit there and eat. That's us.
You know, people watch.
But I've fun. Been doing it, putting my phone away, and nature puts on a show. The other
it
day,
does.
I was.
It does.
The other day, no, listen. The other day, I was sitting at a lake, just munching out on this like panini. like this tomato and bocconcini panini. I was like munching out, you know, like minding my own business. And these 8 little ducklings popped up in front of me.
Aww.
It was so cute. I was so stressed because then they just like, I lost them. And I was like, oh my God.
Mother mode
I felt
activated.
Like a mother. I was like, oh my God, where's the babies? Like, are they okay? Get away from the road. But that's my thing. Every time I sit down, I feel like I'm watching a documentary. Mm. I see like birds like fighting and like ducks like, you know, like flapping over the water and it's so dramatic. So that's my in for 2024. I'm going to appreciate nature more.
I love that.
Perth is full of nature. I reckon
it
Perth
is.
Was like built around the nature.
It is.
So let's embrace that. The other one was about restaurants and
restaurants
cafes.
Restaurants and cafes. Okay, no, this one hits deep. So basically, whenever something is hyped up in Perth, there's a damn line outside of it. Oh, my days. It could be a... I'm going to specifically pinpoint restaurants and cafes. Every time there's a new restaurant cafe and I want to just check it out, you know, go with the girls, go with, like, I don't know, my family. There's, like, a whole line outside. You'd think it's a nightclub or something.
Literally. Yeah, it feels so exclusive because you're like, why are all these people here?
It's so true. And then the thing is, it gets overhyped.
It does.
And then you eat it. And it doesn't even.
And it's over. That gives them like the justification for like upping the prices. It's like, babes, we are broke. Do you have a student discount? Like, like literally.
I scavenge student discounts. Yeah. In this day
but
and
literally,
night.
There was a place that opened. That who shall not be named.
We will not.
And
say
I'm a non-dairy girly. Like, don't give me dairy. That's sick vibes. So there was only one non-dairy flavor, and by the time I got through the half-hour line, the girl literally looked me in the eyes and put up the sign that was, like, sold out on the non-dairy. And I was like, I have a video of it because I was so shocked. I filmed it and I was like, I just waited half an hour for the non-dairy to get sold out. And I literally had to, because it's like something you put toppings on. I literally had a bowl of toppings. I paid for a bowl of toppings.
Yeah.
I had a bowl of toppings, and it was the saddest thing I've ever had in my whole life.
That is so depressing, RJ.
Well, the vegetarian vegans get it. That's when they give you, like, an avocado and some lettuce and say, have a nice dinner, you know, like...
Vegetarian and vegan.
Yeah, no, but it's so true. And also a little app called TikTok, which we love, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't help with those restaurants and cafes. Because once they're discovered on there, just cross it off. Don't bother.
Just don't even go.
Don't bother.
Don't go.
Just cross that one off. Yeah.
Exactly.
You've got to find them for yourself. Get in before everyone else does.
Yes, get in before everyone else.
But we're going to wrap up with something we do on the end of every episode of our podcast, which is called Sovereign Tea.
You know, first of all, this is such a smart play on words. We were so proud of it. No. This is something we're so proud of because it's like Sovereign Tea, but with T-E-A.
It's T-E-A, Sovereign Tea.
Get it,
like
get it.
Thoughts, energy, affirmation. Drink your tea, Sovereign
Tea.
Like...
Yeah.
I know it takes away from it when we explain it every single time.
I know, but it's so smart. Like I don't
sovereignty. Anyway, it stands for thoughts, energy, and affirmation. It took her like four episodes to remember what it stood for.
No, because IJ always looks to me because I have to explain what it is in the segment in case we have new listeners.
And she goes T.
No.
She doesn't know.
Don't,
I won't.
Don't,
anyways,
don't.
So I'm going to say my thoughts at the moment are I have an exam next week. Boo. Exactly. Boo. I should send this to my professor and be like, see, everyone boo.
Yeah,
get
everyone
me out.
Boo.
Get me out. So I'm in like study mode. Let's push through.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not go out. Let's not go get unnecessary coffees and see friends and whatnot. Let's actually do some study. And by study, I mean stare at my lecture notes and just cry. That's my thoughts at the moment. Hoping to get through that. And then it's holiday time. It's like I've got all my Christmas parties lined up, you know?
Yeah.
So it's going to be like... Bender.
She gonna be out.
All right.
And what's you're also going back home, aren't you,
yes,
for Christmas?
Going back home. I'm going to sweat my all off.
Yes, anyway, sweat your all off.
What's your energy, Charlene?
My energy. Well, it's birthday week.
Woo! She's old. She's 21.
I am turning 21. So if you know of any cool, you know, things to do, just let me know. No. I'm turning 21 on Friday and I'm actually leaving the state for a whole week. So I'm going over east for my birthday. And so my energy is just going towards having a good time, you know, kind of living up my... Because I've always romanticised 21. I've always romanticised
it. My life
it.
Is a movie. She always goes, honestly, my life is a movie.
My life... I'm the main character. Like, my life is a movie. I need to embrace 21. Like, I need to embrace the main character energy for the week ahead. Because I don't know.
I like
feel
that.
Like, I feel like it's going to be a good time. So I'm going to go live it up in Sydney. I'm leaving... live it up in Sydney. And just have a good time.
And then we usually end with an affirmation each, but we've thought of an affirmation for you guys.
You guys have to be part of our affirmation.
We've thought of this. You need to say this in the mirror. You need to drive to work and say this affirmation.
Exactly.
Write it in your journals.
Write it down.
The affirmation for the week is, I will stream Sovereign Podcast on Spotify, iTunes, RTRFM.
So you have to say it after us, okay? Ready? Ready? Okay. We're going to say it together. It's kind of like a cult, but like, it's like, okay, the Sovereign Cult. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1.
I will stream the Sovereign Podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and RTIFM. Woo!
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Give it up for Charlene and IJ. It's pretty easy to see why the show's popular, right? Thanks, guys. How are you all doing? You all comfy out there? Charged up with drinks? Sorted? I don't really give a shit, but cool. No, good. There's always some wacky headline coming out of our city, and tonight we're going to explore just a few of them in this next segment, produced especially for Planet Perth. It's Media Watch Perth. We all have an allegiance for working, living and existing either north or south of the Derbal Yerrigan, also known as the Swan River for the past couple of hundred years. I prefer the old name. So we're going to take you across the Derbal Yerrigan tonight with these next two stories. Here to help me is academic and broadcaster James Hall. Make yourself comfy there, Jimmy. Hey, here, keep clapping. Go. Hey.
We're alarmingly close to each other.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, isn't it?
Yeah, but good.
Hey, babe.
Good on.
Now, James, we're going to start north of the river with a woman who made the headlines for her entrepreneurial ideas.
Actually, before we can I just interrupt
before
we
start?
It's very very difficult to follow like everything that's happened. But also like a story, a murder on the dance floor with a love rat called Cyril. I don't think the love rat being called Cyril wasn't quite that needed more attention.
Right? Yeah. Seriously, yeah. Cyril. I mean, it just makes you think Graham Kennedy, doesn't it?
It doesn't scream love rat, that's for sure.
Well, let's get down in the dirt then, James. On your daily commute, Poops, you may have driven past the billboard on the corner of Main Street and Scarborough Beach Road. If you do, there's a good chance you saw a woman named Savannah on one of them. In a nationwide first, Savannah Fletcher personally took out a billboard ad in April of this year to advertise her OnlyFans account. Oh, there she is! Thought you were cheering me! The billboard, as you can see, showed Savannah, a.k.a. WC Savage, crouched in a bikini, a large QR code to her OnlyFans account and her social media handles. And other handles. There was community outrage, James, and complaints made to the local council and Ad Standards Australia, even though the ad wasn't breaking any rules. There was also no content on Savannah's OnlyFans account at the time the ad was put up. Following the...
There is now, though.
Now, following this backlash, a publicity and a huge spike in Savannah's subscriber count, the content creator decided to team up with local charity and use her platform to promote Clothing Please, an organisation that recycles and gives away clothes to people in need. Now, they put up a new billboard and with the same layout, except this time Savannah, in the same position, had a long sleeve shirt photoshopped onto her. The OnlyFans and Instagram logos were still on display alongside with the Clothing Please logo. The billboard run ended and it was a waiting game to see what would have to follow those ads. Hilariously, what followed was an ad for OnlyCans by local brewing company, Raunchy Brewing Company. Following the same layout as Savannah's ads, the range of beers was on display while playing on the OnlyFans logo. Interestingly, the company is run by Steve Zielinski, the man behind Notorious Entertainment Company, Raunchy Promotions. The Billboard saga made headlines internationally. The beer billboard ended and was taken down. It's been months and nothing has actually been on that billboard since. Who knows what will come next? James, did you see the ads in the flesh, so to speak?
I didn't see it in the flesh, though. Wow, I did not know that was coming. I didn't see it in the flesh, but I think this story proves as much as anything that we don't need to see things in the flesh anymore. We're a post-flesh world.
Post-flesh?
It's all pixels now. It's all digital is good enough. But I did. I looked up. I would have driven past it multiple times whilst it was up, not noticing it was there. Because yeah, does anyone look at billboards anymore? Unless you're like maybe if you stopped at a traffic light. It's kind of irresponsible advertising practice.
Right? Yeah,
like look out over here.
Don't look at your phone, but look over here. Yeah.
And you're like, she likes recycling. That turns me on. I'm going to subscribe.
Now, lots of people argue you can drive 20 minutes to the beach and see a lot more on display. What makes this ad so provocative?
Well, yeah, you don't have to drive 20 minutes to the beach, right?
No, well.
Like, 20 minutes is quite a long investment for some bikini cool shots.
Yes,
like,
so well, indeed.
But, you know, I think a bit of this is, we've always talked about the idea of, like sex sells, right? We've all heard that expression. And it kind of doesn't unless you're selling sex. That's the only thing that really helps you sell sex. But a lot of this is context. It's a pretty unremarkable image, right? Was anyone offended by it? Like, am I allowed to open it up to people? Can I? Confused is the right, maybe, the right feeling. But the idea of you know, whether it's someone selling swimwear or it's a Victoria's Secret ad or anything like that, maybe some complaints, but less remarkable. But the fact that it's selling sex and it's this kind of, you know, ooh, this dirty thing, and sex is this nice, pure thing that is in soft focus. Oh. And yeah, that's it. That's the one. That's the good stuff. So yeah, that sort of context around it kind of makes it more easy for certain audiences to take offence at it, I think.
Well, looking at the Perth headlines, there's so many conservative ones that popped up. Is that typical to see here in Perth?
There's your answer.
Rhetoric itself.
Yeah, like if we're going to give ourselves 10 out of 10, we also have to do that for outrage over things that don't require outrage, which I think we can be quite good at as well. So, you know, you just need to look. The whole country is conservative, right? In a general sort of sense, we just need to look at referendum results and those sorts of things recently. So it's probably not super surprising that there is this strong conservative element running through society. I'm sure maybe this audience not so much representative of that vibe running through society, but I think it's certainly there, and we all know it's there, and maybe we like to think it's not there. Well, but then we get reminders that...
Well, the council saw a hilarious opportunity and took it with the only cans procedure.
Ooh, hilarious.
Would you like to speculate on what the next ad might
be? Well, I did. I had a long list of potential puns to roll out here, but I'm not going to do it because it went pretty. It was rotten.
It was wrong.
It got pretty rotten pretty quick. But I thought Queensland tourism getting a little bit out. Only Cairns could be a. Come on. You want the dirty stuff?
Yeah,
the dirty stuff.
Come on.
You're not getting the dirty stuff. And maybe only Khan, like a film festival. It only works written down. Saying it out doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
But insert rhyme for only or fans in there. You can get your own dirty results that way.
Well, let's move ourselves south of the river.
West Coast Savannah? Was that the...
Yes.
The handle? I'm busting your flow here. It's like, that was her Hotmail, right? West Coast Savannah.
Yeah,
back in the day, probably. I don't know that. I'm asserting that was...
Sure, James.
If/when you were to start your own OnlyFans, what would your handle be? I've got one, but I want you to think about it.
My personal one, I guess I'd always carry from my previous industry, which would be King Conkers.
Oh, I was thinking Raging Bullen.
Deaf Jeff.
All black and white.
Right.
All like classy. You can charge more if it's classy. Yeah, yeah.
That would be classy.
I don't think it has to be dirty. Does OnlyFans have to be dirty? No. I don't think it has. No.
Well, only once the gig starts.
Yeah, like it's yeah. That's your call to make.
Yeah. If you're paying, I'll do it.
Who's that's the free market, right? That's why the world's in such a good spot. Who, just to maybe show our hands, who has at some point considered, maybe in a dark moment, maybe in a drunk moment, whatever, how much could I make if I sold feet pics on OnlyFans? Yeah, like, for those listening, it's pretty much everyone in the room. Pretty much everyone in the room has considered that. That's the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. I mean, sorry, I should... you can beep it out, but...
Shall we head to Frio?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. Now, for years, Eileen Carmel Mullaly, known as Carmel, lived in an 1890s cottage, which also happened to be smack bang in the middle of Frio Port. With her grandfather living and working in the area, plus her father previously owning the house, it's safe to say Carmel knew the area well. She moved in during 1952, and as a newlywed couple, herself and her husband James bought the house in 1958.
Different James.
Different James. Not this James. But he's looking good if you had a bit. Anyway, at the time, the port was lined with workers' cottages. But in the late 1960s, the Port Authority began buying up and demolishing the cottages for development. Carmel refused to sell, resisting notices, offers, negotiations and threats. She said this was her home and they were not going to take it from her. Carmel's campaigning and fighting continued for decades. Pushing back any way she could meant sometimes getting creative. At one stage, painting "Help Save Me from Port Authority" on the side of her cottage. Don't laugh, it worked. This back and forth with the Port Authority went on for decades, with Carmel in the house through it all of it. After all her efforts, the cottage became heritage listed in 2007, allowing Carmel to breathe a sigh of relief. She'd done it. It's hard to believe Carmel only moved out 2 short years ago after decades of standing right there firmly on her ground. She was in the home for 71 years. She sadly passed away last year at the age of 89. But if you drive past 28 Bailey Street... it is still standing proud. James, what do you know about the woman who lived in the port?
Or the Elton John of houses. not only what we get through those stories, right? Obviously never met Carmel or anything like that. But, yeah, it's a story that's endured and come back and kind of disappointingly so when you look at the timeline of all of the things, like, 2007 heritage listed. That's the victory, right? Like, you know, this is just the castle, right? The film, The Castle.
It is.
This is the exact
straight up.
It's the exact plot with almost the exact ending. So yeah, this nice little, and it plays into this nice idea we have of ourselves as being, you know, anti-authoritarian and sticking it to the person, which is usually a man.
It's not often you hear about a city building a port around a house. How often do we see these sort of immovable forces like Eileen and Perth? There was one dude that stuck it out when they were building the West Coast Extension through Cottesloe.
Yeah.
On Salvado Road or whatever it was.
Yeah, and there's a guy in my complex who's being very defined in not breaking down boxes before he puts them in the garbage bins as well. So, like, but
dude,
that's a different kind
how
of
do you deal?
It's very. I don't. That's the. That's a problem for another time. But yeah. So again, this idea of in a way, it kind of you can look back and go, well, this is kind of a silly sort of defiance, right? In a way, and when we think about the story, like Carmel's house, they're moved out. passed away, family sold it to the Port Authority. So the Port Authority owns it now, but they can't do anything with it because it's heritage.
Suck right. eggs on
so
that
it's
one.
Kind of like, and they paid $450,000 for it as well. But I'm sure it'll be a museum, or it's probably, you know, storing tanks of oil or whatever people store in things. But the building's there now, so that's kind of – that's a nice – like little piece of history that isn't removed. It's perfect for a walking tour, so to speak. There's like a nice little story around it. It may be the timeline. When did Cyril die? Do you know when? I think he died when he got shot, right?
Right, yeah.
I kind of knew the answer to that. So I don't think this is like he was a port guy, though. I don't think
he's a port guy.
But I think that the timeline.
Maybe he saw. Maybe he walked past the house.
He would have maybe yeah. lived in a place just like it.
Just
right?
like it.
So that's you can do a little tie-in, like a callback with that. Like, but it's there now, so we can see. Without it, we would have no trace of that era of Fremantle life and all those people that lived there and we just have this big port there. So it's kind of nice. There's this almost, without sounding too much like a tosser, like a cultural scar, right, on the landscape, there's this thing that's kind of there forever and we can see it and we get a little insight as to what else was going around and what this place may have looked like instead of, you know, sepia photographs that probably don't hold up too well.
Yeah, it's
out of focus. So sepia photographs, always out of focus. Terrible.
What were they thinking? It's interesting that in this state we'll save a weatherboard cottage, but Jilken Gorge, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Choke on that contradiction. Now, Eileen said the noise of the port didn't bother her after living there for so many years, but can you imagine what it must have felt like and sounded being in that house right on the edge of the port?
Yeah, like noisy, right?
I mean, Frio is pretty wacky at its best.
Yeah. But also, like, people are used to it, right? Like, I'm going to guess it won't be as many as the people have thought about selling feet pics, but maybe half of us here. I think it trends left, right? People that can't sleep without a podcast or a white noise machine. I think, like, the right wing, like, Tucker Carlson's not putting on white noise to get to sleep at night, right?
No.
So I think it trends that side of politics. So in a way, I kind of understand that you can just block that out because it's like port noise or thoughts. and I'll take the port noise.
I'll take port noise. 10 out of 10 on that one. The story spanned decades, James. What's it like seeing years of headlines following one story?
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, we did touch upon that a little bit, that it's something that's come back to, and it's a nice reassuring narrative because it tells us something we already think about ourselves, right, that we can be defined and we can, you know, stick it to authority and that good will, like Dale Kerrigan will triumph over the big port authority or the airport link or whatever it may be. So, you know, and that's something I think Media Watch as well, it's really interesting when you kind of gut when you start looking through the. This is kind of my job, right? So sorry if this is a coal mine sending coals to Newcastle, busman's holiday, yep. Whatever the phrase is. That you're sort of looking at, like those news stories are always narrative. So when you're going on a you know Perth Now where things like this pop up, you sort of see what we're trying to tell ourselves through these news stories, and we're just kind of convincing ourselves of who we are and what we are and what we represent. And whilst this, like, not to denigrate the story in any way, but that's what it is. Like, it's a nice reaffirming, you know.
Yeah, well, it feels like you can stick it to
the
man.
We do deserve 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Stick it to the man.
Yeah.
Everybody, big thanks to James Hall for joining us tonight for Media Watch.
Thank you, Jeff.
Now, tonight we've uncovered some of Perth's stories, secrets and superstars, but one thing we haven't seen yet is what is behind Marion's easel over there. Come on up, Marion. All right, well, maybe we should start with famous Sharon and Monique. Come on up, ladies. First up, famous Sharon.
There you go.
Yeah! And Monique. Game on, mate. Nice one. Charlene and IJ, get up here.
There you go.
Show me, show me, show me. It just reminds me of that Simpsons episode where Lisa gets drawn. Anyhow, James Hall.
Already feeling fragile.
Thank you very much, Marion. And I believe you are going to hang around and do some drawings for people who want them afterwards, yeah?
Yes. Yeah. I'll be here.
Awesome. Well, yeah, you definitely should. Thank you so much. Okay, folks, that concludes RTRFM's first ever live podcast. I'll stop it. I hope you had a wonderful evening. We'd like to acknowledge a number of people that have pitched in for this evening. A big thank you to our guests. First of all, famous Sharon and Monique. Awesome poetry from Joni Boyd. See you Monday. And, of course, Charlene and IJ. And do make sure you follow that affirmation and tune in. It's shit hot stuff, and if you're missing it, you're missing out. And who else have I got to thank? Of course, James Hall. And finally, the awesome art of Marion LeCrayon. Thank you very much. Now, tonight would not have been possible without the support of our sponsors, Lawson Flats. Thank you very much for this awesome building. They welcomed us in and they've done everything perfectly, so they come with high recommendations. They tell us you're welcome to keep the party going upstairs with a drink and a chat at the bar afterwards, so I look forward to catching you up there. Huge love to my pal Eddie Curtis, our sound tech for tonight. You're a legend. Love your work. Thanks to our producers, Liz Nucky and Rachel Ng, for their passion, time and dedication. A special thanks to Tash Thomas and Meg Sheffers. I know she's around here somewhere. For basically just organising this night and for their tireless work in promoting and championing the whole project. And the hugest of all thanks and a big round of applause for Planet Perth's executive producer, Danielle Raphael. Yeah, she writes the words, I just speak them. So thank goodness she has a brain. Now, if you want to hear more from us, you can listen to Season 2 of Planet Perth right now on the RTRFM website or wherever you get your podcasts, be it Spotify or iTunes. Now, before we go, we have one final treat. If you're familiar with the podcast, you'll know our theme song comes courtesy of local band The Mackerels. To wrap up this evening, I'd like to welcome Goldie of The Mackerels for an acoustic rendition of our theme, Can't Blame the City. My name's Jeff Bullen. Thank you and good night!
That's pretty good. Hello, thank you very much. This has been a wonderful evening. And it's so nice to have a song that plays through the speakers all night long. But, yeah, now you'll get to hear me sing it for you. Thank you very much. All right, yeah, here we go. City for how you feel all of the time. No, you can't blame the city for how you feel all of the time. You can keep me out always of your mind. Yeah, you can keep me, I'm always on my way. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, you can't see me on the other side all of the time. We just keep on passing each other by, keeping our eyes fixed on making new memories of what it's like. You can't keep me, I'm always on my way. Yeah, 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 yeah. To a better place. City for how you feel all of the time. We just keep on passing each other by every single time. You can keep me out always of your mind. Yeah, you can keep me, I'm always on my way. Yeah, yeah. Going back to that place. Thank you very much.